We ask you to now to turn with us into John, the third chapter. We'll be looking verses 16 through 19, same verses that Dalton and Amy read to us a moment ago as they lit the candle that says love. And we're talking about love. God's love revealed. How did he choose to reveal his love? The Bible says that he chose to reveal his love in the person of Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. And as Jesus was speaking and as he was talking to the individuals and trying to help them understand who he was, who he is, and what he was about at that particular time, he shared these words with us. And of course, it's one of those verses that we memorize as children and we hold on to all of our lives that brings us comfort and strength in times of problems, times of sickness, and times of distress, and times of grief. But we realize that God loves us. John 3, verse 16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Father, speak now through John and Jesus to challenge us to not only experience love, but to share love. For we ask it in his name. Amen. The heart of Christmas, the very soul of what Christmas is all about, is love. That's the point. That's what we need to understand, that it is love. Advent points us to Christ's coming. His coming almost a little over 2,000 years ago. And his coming that is out there in the future, that when he will come and bring judgment and the final collecting together of those that have loved him and respond to him to share eternity with us. Advent points us to Christ's coming, the greatest expression in the love has ever known, the world has ever known, the greatest expression of love the world has ever known. Jesus declared, I give you a new command, love one another just as I've loved you. You are also to love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's John 13, 34 through 35. That's during the experience of the Passover celebration, the initiation of the Lord's Supper, and the words of comfort that Jesus gave in the 14th chapter of John, talking about his love, his grace, his mercy, and that one day he's going to come and gather us back to be with him. Now understand, the purpose of Christmas is to demonstrate God's love and grace for all people. He came into the world. Jesus didn't just come to the Jewish people, to the Israelites that were in and around Jerusalem or Bethlehem or Nazareth, those important towns and cities in his life and culture, but he came that all of the world, that's why how he finalized his time on earth, go into all the world and share the gospel. There is that fact that we need to understand. Love is not a feeling. We want to have that sentimental feeling. We want to have that hot, flashy feeling, those kind of things. Love is not a feeling. It is the divine act of God. God expressed love. Man did not know love. Man does not know love. Man cannot experience love apart from the act and the mercies of Jesus Christ. Love is not simply an emotion or a sentiment. Love is a divine act, an act of God giving himself for us. Love is action. When you read the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, you find Paul described it to a church that was in real trouble and conflict, that there is a specific way that we love with God's kind of love, and it's action. It's not thoughts, it's not emotions, it's not sentiment, it's action. That's what he said in the 16th verse of the third chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son. Many of us memorized as children, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Love is God giving himself to us. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the owner, the creator of all of the universe, of everything that we would ever know, everything and everybody, gave up his place in heaven and came to earth as a man. He came as God's messenger. He came as God's instrument to demonstrate love. Now, the last few Wednesday mornings, we've talked about this as we've studied the book of Philippians, of God coming out of, Jesus coming out of heaven. Jesus was God, the second person of the Trinity. He gave it all up. He left everything of heaven, all the honor, all the glory, all the power, all of the authority, and he came to earth and was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He became a man. Paul says he became a bond servant. Not God, but a slave. A slave responsible. There would be no reward, no action, no remuneration for its activity of work is what a bondservant had. And so as he came, he demonstrated God by emptying himself of everything and becoming a man. Now, if you understand he did not come as God, but he came as a slave to serve God, the Father, and to serve mankind. Now, if you do not have sin, or if you have not believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will never understand this kind of love. You will never understand what it is for Jesus to have died on the cross and experienced hell in separation from God, that you and I could have eternal life, that we could become the children of God. His purpose was to show God's love and to die in my place for my sins. Now, I'm not like you. I did not, and I do not live without sin. I do not deserve his love, but he loved me anyway. It's hard to fathom that someone could love you that much, that they paid the eternal price of your own sin. His purpose was to show God's love and die in my place. Now, the love candle reminds us God's love came. It came in the past. When we lit the Advent candle of love just now, they reminded us that God's love came down at Christmas and revealed perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. We must also remember that Jesus is coming again. And when he fulfills that promise and comes back to get us to go to God's heaven with him, we will share all of eternity with him because of his love. He will come for us one at a time, as he did Emma Friday, or he may come for us with the shout of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet, and the splitting of the skies, and his appearance would gather us to share all of eternity. So what does John remind us about love as he told the story of Jesus? First of all, he told us the source of love is God himself. Verse 16a, for God loved the world this way. Now understand, it is God's nature to love. Now we would think in the Old Testament his nature was wrath. His nature was judgment. His nature was punishment. We would think of that, but you understand that as you read the Old Testament and you understand the books, you see that there is that revelation that God was patient. God was kind with them. Over and over again, yes, he did inflict punishment upon them because of their sin, but over and over again, he forgave them when they repented. When they came back to him and said, God, we did wrong. We were wrong. We failed you. We did not obey you. And so he came back. God's nature is love. The original nature of God is love. You read 1 John 4:8, God is love, is what John said there. It's a clear definition. The original nature of God was love. He wanted to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. And he would come in the afternoons, in the cool of the evening, and walk with them in the Garden of Eden. He would share in fellowship. He would be with them. And yet they chose to disobey him and were separated from him and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. You see, God just doesn't show love. We understand from the scripture that he is love. That is God. Everything he does flows out of that character. And love is undeserved. The world here means the fallen humanity, people that have sinned against God, people that have disobeyed God. Everyone is sinful, rebellious, and broken. Yet God chose to love us, to accept us anyway. Now, love acts toward the undeserving. God's love is not a sentimental love. It's a sacrificial love. You know, that's the important thing, to realize that God went beyond the feelings and emotions and the sentiment. He went into action to produce the love. It is a sacrificial love. Jesus called for his followers to live out that kind of love in the communities that we live in. Love acts. God is not passive, just sitting in heaven and ready to throw lightning at us when we do things that are wrong, like he did to the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering. No, God was involved with them. He came every day to the tent of meeting with Moses and talked with Moses and helped Moses understand what was to be going on. And yet they still sinned against him. He declared his love. He demonstrated his love with his patience and kindness toward them. As believers, as followers of Jesus, our love must mirror God's love. It just can't be spoken. It has to be shown. It has to be demonstrated. It has to be real. It has to be powerful. We love the unlovely because God loved us when we were unlovely. Now, I don't know about you, but it still happens to me every day that I can be unlovely. And that's the reality. Now, not only do people tell me, God tells me that I'm unlovely. 2 o'clock this morning, he was speaking clearly to me as I was thinking about God and the message of love and how we ought to do things. He said, Mickey, you know, sometimes you're still not very lovely. You do things you shouldn't be doing. You think, you say, you do. All of that was bubbling in my mind at 2 o'clock this morning. But God was lovely enough that he loved me in spite of that and told me about that and allowed me to confess it and be renewed in fellowship to him. Now, the gift of love, God gave his son. He gave his one and only son. 16b, John 3:16b. You know, love gives what's most precious. It always gives what's most precious, not just something we can get by with, but it gives most precious. I love the idea that there are five kind of love languages that we have. And as we read the books about the love language, male and female have different ones. But if you identify the love language, it makes life a lot easier for those that you love to know what kind of love language that they have. You know, my love language is touch. Jean's love language is service. So if I do things for her, she loves me a lot better. She will actually hold my hand when I do good things, you know. That's the concept here. Love gives the most precious. God did not look for volunteers. He did not select the cherubim. He did not select the seraphim, those attendants of heaven that are always at the throne of grace. They were marked at the Ark of the Covenant when it was in the nation of Israel's wilderness in the tabernacle and later in the temple. It wasn't those servants. God didn't look for volunteers in the angels and say, which one of y'all would do this? He didn't even appoint an angel to do this. If you look at it, he didn't even call for the four archangels to take care of this task. When you realize that God demonstrated his love with his one and only son, all who are servants in heaven could have been chosen. Any of them would have been happy to amend to what God wanted to done. But it was not an earthly willingness. It was not an earthly obedience. It was not without question. God sent a messenger that spoke from heaven, and it was his only son. Now, God sent many messages. You read the Old Testament and you find that God actually spoke in an audible voice. Now, also in the New Testament, when Jesus was baptized, God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him, listen to him, obey him." He chose to speak through dreams, those mystic dreams that many of the prophets had, where God said, "This is the message I want you to convey to my people." There were times he actually wrote on the wall so that people could see the message that he had for them. And usually it was personal to a king that was not being obedient. He used nature to speak his messages. The earth opened and swallowed people. Fire came. Snakes came. You could go on or list all of the things that God did to demonstrate he knew exactly what was going on, the way people were living and what they were doing. But he did not call a man to become a messenger, a prophet. He used many men to speak his message, but this message was special. This message had to have a special way. No, the Father chose who? His one and only Son. None like him. None will ever be like him, even though the Bible says when we get to heaven, we'll be like Jesus. None of us were like him back then. It's because of his act of love that we become like him. No father would choose their one and only son. No father would choose that one to die for someone else that were doing things that were wicked and evil and bad. The second person of the Trinity, the part of God himself, sent to earth that became a man. For God proves his love to us in this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. You see, love gives sacrificially. It's not stingy. Every time we hear the Christmas story, we declare Jesus. Our message of love in the manger leads to the cross. We need to understand that. There was that baby, and the shepherds came. Later, the wise men came. There was the angels there worshiping and praising God. There was that baby, but the cross was at the end of his life. He was moving all of nature, all of mankind, all of eternity toward the cross. But it started with the baby in the manger as an expression of God's love. The purpose of love being given sacrificially is salvation. It's eternal life. It is a gift of God. The goal of God's sacrificial giving was that we might not perish, but have eternal life. Advent love reminds us that we're giving at least the heart of the gospel. The giving is the heart of the gospel. That's the part of it that we need to remember. You know, love, we need to understand love when we give ourselves means that our time, our compassion, our forgiveness, our blessings, they're all given over to others. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we are to reflect God's giving heart. That's who we are if we're children of God. We're givers like Jesus. And then there's the invitation of love to a believer and live. For that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, God's love offers salvation. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We have to understand that it is a gift. Think it is a gift, not guilt. Think of that. No condemnation. Here we stand before God, lived a life that was not pleasing to God, did things that were wrong. We can't even clean ourselves up enough to meet God's requirement. And yet he's going to ask us to enter into the joys of our Lord because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus did not come to destroy sinners, but to deliver them. Jesus doesn't reject sinners. He accepts them when they come with confession and repentance. God's purpose in sending Jesus was redemption, not rejection. That's the important part of the lesson. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. Do you know life? Have you experienced life? Even all our pains and aches, all of our problems that present themselves to every day, we know God loves us. We can go to His throne at any time and talk to Him. And He has promised us, no matter what happens to us, He loves us. He cares for us. And one day we'll get to spend eternity with Him. Love invites all of us. Jesus said in John 3:14-17, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Now picture this. You got this Pharisee sitting down one night with Jesus. And as he's sitting with Jesus, he's talking to Jesus about what's going on, what's happening in the world, why Jesus is different than them, why Jesus is moving and being with the people that He is. And Jesus said, as he talked to him about eternal life, what can I do? What can I have? What are your purpose? Jesus said, just as Moses lifted the snake in the wilderness. Now, you know I don't like talking about snakes, but that's a reality of the story. There was the nation of Israel. They had come through and they had battled with a nation and they'd overthrown that nation. And they went on and they were not doing what God said to do and they were to agree to do. And as a result of that, God punished them because of their sin. He turned loose literally thousands of snakes within the tribes of Israel. Everywhere there was one, snakes were biting people all over the place and they were dying left and right. And Moses went and reported to God. The people said, we're sorry, please stop it, please stop it. And Moses was told by God, create a fashion of a snake out of bronze. Put it on top of a stick and hold the stick high, and everybody that looks at it will be spared. They will not be killed by the snake. So Moses did. And everybody that just looked toward it were saved. The snakes did not kill them. So Jesus comes ahead 2,000 years, and he's telling this Pharisee about this experience. That it's going to be just like when Moses had to build a snake and put it on a stick for the people to be spared of their rebellion and rejection of God. So the Son of Man will be lifted up just like that. Of course, he was talking about the cross. You and I look back to the cross. We don't see the physical cross on Calvary. We don't see Calvary except in our minds and in our hearts. And by doing that, we are forgiven and we are cleansed and we are saved from death, eternal death, just as the people were saved from physical death at that time. You see, there's no one outside of God's love. Everyone is loved by God. His love is available to anyone who believes, he said. The love of God calls for a response. God's love is freely offered, but it must be received. It must be taken. Faith is that open hand that we receive the gift of God. We're passing gifts around all over the place this time of year. And now you can set the gift in front of me. You can say, it's yours, Mickey. You can have it. And all I have to do is reach out and take it. But if I don't reach out and take it, it sits there. And I can walk off and leave it. I can ignore it. I can abandon it. The same way with Jesus, if we don't reach out and take Him, His gift of eternal life, we will walk away and be doomed to a devil's hell for all of eternity. And I've heard it all my life. Not today, Mickey. Not now, Mickey. I don't know, Mickey. You know, the doubts, the fear, the rejection, the rebellion. No, I'm not ready to give up my life to do that kind of stuff now. And as a result of that, they're passing up that free gift. I don't know if I've told y'all yet, but Shelby was telling me the other day when the chaplain at the hospital brought her a Gideon's Bible to read. Hers was at home and she couldn't get it right then. And he brought it and he gave it to her and she was looking at it. And she said, you know, many years ago, I took a Gideon Bible just like this and I marked the Roman road in it, the plan of salvation, and I carried it down the street to another lady, and I gave it to her, and I explained the scripture, and I told her about God offering salvation to her, and she would not accept it then. I went away, but I prayed for her. 3 days later, she was struck by lightning and killed. I don't know if she'd be in heaven or not. Of course, Gene's positive was, just think about it. One day, Shelby's going to be walking through heaven, and that woman's going to come up and say, thank you for giving me that Bible, sharing that. You and I have heard stories by the thousands of people that walk out of a church and say no and have an automobile accident before they get home and will spend eternity in hell because they wouldn't accept the gift that was being offered to them, eternal life. You see, we have to realize that faith is the open hand that receives the gift of God. Advent calls us to not only celebrate love, but to respond to it, to say yes to God. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you received His love? Have you received that offer that He's given to you? You realize that there can be the rejection of love also. That's the darkness versus the light that Jesus talked about in verse 18 and 19. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned. The judgment is this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light. Think about that. Love reveals our choice. As we respond to Christ, Christ is the dividing line between light and darkness. I lived in darkness so many times on disasters. I saw what it was. You can't imagine what downtown New Orleans was like after Katrina with no light. You can't imagine what parts of Houston was like after Harvey with no light. You can't realize what Manhattan was like for months in downtown Manhattan after 9/11 with no light. If you didn't have a light, if you didn't have the devices that we had with generators and light poles and things like that, we worked in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world that takes away the sin of the world. Sin is when a person decides to step across the line that God has drawn and said, this is right, this is wrong. There's the line. When you step across the line, you step in sin. Actually, there's five of those markations that we talk about with sin. But the line, the darkness and the light is he's talking. For Adam and Eve, it was when they decided to eat from the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden that God said, don't eat from, that they stepped into sin. They stepped into darkness. They were separated from God. No more cool of the evenings with God. No more life in the Garden of Eden. Now you will work. Now you will have pain and childbearing. All those things began to happen as a result of the choice of not accepting God's love and God's command. For the children of Israel, God gave them the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and He clearly outlined what He required of His people. And He declared, you will and you will not do these things. Here we are 1,450 years later when Jesus steps up. And Jesus came into the world and He used the Ten Commandments to teach us how to be His followers and what we will do as we live in obedience to Him. But He raised the requirements from just action to the motives behind the action, the thoughts, the words, as well as the actions. For example, the law said, you will not kill. And He used that to demonstrate that when you were a cold-blooded murderer, you killed. And in Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, when you were angry at someone, you were guilty of killing. Not just a cold-blooded murderer, but your actions, your thoughts, your words, your motives, stepped across the line that became sin that would separate you from God, from Jesus Christ. Now, murder carried the death penalty in Israel. In God's law for eternity, it carries the death penalty also. Jesus' teaching, being angry, carries that death penalty that will be carried out in hell for all of eternity. The only escape from that, the only escape from the penalty in hell, is accepting Jesus' love as demonstrated on the cross. You believe and you will not be condemned. Those who have not believed are condemned already because love, darkness, and sin is the message. They would rather sin and be in darkness than be bothered with Jesus and his requirement. You see, love exposed the truth. Love is the dividing line between light and darkness. Love is the dividing line between sin and holiness. People who choose darkness do not show love, nor have they experienced God's love in Jesus Christ. But when you look at it, and when we celebrate Christmas, we realize love came down at Christmas. That first day, that first moment, that Jesus came out of Mary and was placed in that stone cold trough that they fed animals out of, wrapped up and put there, that love came. Advent is God's love initiative. God loved first. He showed us how we are to love each other. He showed us how we are to love lost people. God's love, that's God's gift. God became the Son. He gave his Son. And he gave it all for us. Our culture does not love as God's love. Often we do not love people who even love us. You ever been in that position? You love somebody and they don't love you back? You have to understand that's what it's talking about. And it's a little bit more than that puppy love that we experienced as teenagers that I'm talking about. When you love somebody that didn't love you. This is the stone cold reality of our culture today. God's love, God's call is believe and be saved. This is the message of faith we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness. One confesses with its mouth, resulting in salvation. That's the simple play that God has offered to us. You love God. In response to God's love, say Jesus is Lord and believe that God actually raised him from that borrowed tomb 2,000 years ago. God's love, it's God's light shining in darkness. As long as I am in the world, the light, I am the light of the world, John 9:4-5. God's gift of salvation, Jesus came and exposed sin. But he just didn't point it out. He didn't just say, na na da boo boo, you've done something bad. No, no. He paid the price for that sin so that I don't have to die in hell. And he offers me forgiveness. You see, you have to let God's love ignite in our heart. And when it does, it reignites our love. It gives us that love. Those little babies that you rock and feed and change and take care of and you hold and you swaddle and you just hug and kiss, they love you back because that's all they know. But every one of them are just like us. They're going to get to the point at the time where they're going to make a choice of not doing what you said, not doing what God wants. And they become separated from God because of sin at that point. You and I can know and experience God's love if we respond to his offer of salvation. God's gift of salvation, Jesus came and exposed sin, but he offered forgiveness. He gave us the alternative. Let the love of God unite in our hearts. You see, the love candle in our auditorium, we must also light Jesus' love within our hearts and our lives, not just light that candle. It has to be burning in us. We have to love people. Like Jesus, we love others even though they may be unlovely and and do not love us. You see, we have to let His love renew our spirit. By just opening up, receiving, and experiencing His offer of love. So how in the world do you do that, Mickey? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've been saying it for 2 years. You admit that you have sinned. You believe that Jesus can save you. You confess Jesus as Lord of your life, and then you dedicate yourself to discipleship, to be like Jesus. How do you do that? The simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for coming into my life and loving me. Amen. That simple prayer allows you to experience God's love as expressed in Jesus Christ, and that not only will make a difference today, it will make a difference for all of eternity if you're willing to pray that prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can look into your word and we understand the description of love is the person of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he offers us that love freely. All we have to do is just believe and trust him and confess him as our Lord. Move in our midst now and allow us to do that, to declare to the world around us that Jesus is my Savior and I love him and I love others the way he loved me. Let us show our love day in and day out because of Jesus' love for us. Hear us, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Move in our midst now that we can obey and demonstrate your love. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.